They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Goldman Sachs goes public with some details about how it makes its money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, one of the most secretive American banks gives us a look inside its treasure chest. What will we find? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow's up 41 points at 11,679. The NASDAQ up about a quarter of a point. And the S&P 500 about 0.3% higher right now. Start the countdown. The Verizon iPhone announcement is expected to start in about an hour. I wonder if all the reporters covering it will be able to get any service on their AT&T iPhones. Now let's get to today's big story on Wall Street. Goldman Sachs is releasing a 63-page report today that discloses how much money the investment bank makes on its own trades and investments, proprietary trading, as it's called. Goldman has faced criticism for putting its own interests ahead of the interests of its clients. Julie Neiman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live now from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
So why is Goldman doing this, and what are we going to learn from it?
At last, we see the voodoo they do so well. There's always been a question whether it's black magic or black box. What we will get is divisional breakout. Where's the profit coming from? But this is normal in compliance with Regulation FD, full and fair disclosure. That's about 10 years ago. The big question is, though, disclosure doesn't equal change. Change comes when you remove the profit from an activity, and all they're doing is moving out proprietary trading. That's going to be a subdivision of the company.
All right, Julie, and quickly, big picture here, you know, 2.5 years after the financial crisis, do we really know much more about what the big banks are doing?
Not really, because it's almost like doing an autopsy on the dead banks. We know the cause of death here. We know exactly what it was. It was bad lending. But Dr. Volcker was fired before he could do the cure. You can't bet the house when you're gambling, trading for profits. Banks are going to give part of that up. But we still aren't addressing the lousy lending standards, the operational deficiencies. That's the foreclosure fraud that was going on. Capital deficiencies, not enough cushion to weather the downturn. And Dr. Volcker was working on the cure. So I don't see much meaningful change at all.
Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company. Thanks as always.
You bet.
Well, as the European debt crisis continues, some good news from Japan this morning. The Japanese finance minister has pledged about $1 billion to help with the bailout of Ireland. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more from London.
The money will go to Ireland, but the whole of the European Union will guarantee repayment. This is not an altruistic move by the Japanese. Japan has an interest at stake. It sells 10% of its exports to Europe and could do without more turmoil. But will Japan's investment do the trick and stop the crisis spreading to other countries in the Eurozone? Steve Barrow of Standard Bank thinks not. He says after Greece and then Ireland, Portugal could be the next casualty.
It does look as if Portugal, for instance, is the next domino to fall. And I don't think Japanese investment in the Eurozone will stop Portugal from requiring that bailout.
The Portuguese Prime Minister today insisted his country doesn't need bailing out. But the big test comes tomorrow when his government will try to borrow more money on the markets. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
The CEO of Barclays Bank was on the hot seat in London this morning, taking flak from lawmakers over his multi-million-dollar bonus. Whether or not big banker bonuses make you angry, they sure do worry some macroeconomists who are concerned about the rich getting richer while the poor get poorer. World Bank economist Branko Milanovic has just written a book called The Haves and the Have-Nots. He joins us now from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with the United States. You write that income inequality here in the U.S. reached its trough in the late 70s, but has been climbing ever since then. Why is that happening?
There has been a change in technological progress, which actually puts much greater emphasis on high level of skills and ability of people to work with very expensive capital. So the premium for skills has risen, and consequently, the gap between those who have skills and those who don't has increased.
You might say that the countries that don't have as big of a problem with income inequality are communist countries like China. But you write that economic leveling, as you call it, leads to stagnation and ultimate decline, that it's not so great to have perfect equality across the board.
Inequality is like cholesterol. I mean, you have good inequality. That would be inequality which would lead people to take risks, to actually work harder, to study more in order to make more money. But there is also bad inequality. That's inequality which actually cements the acquired position, which doesn't let poor people acquire education if they don't have money and so on.
As you've been writing this book, you've obviously spent a lot of time focusing on income inequality. As you look at the United States, what do you see for us going forward? Are we going to become more unequal when it comes to income or less?
I actually believe that the U.S. has now reached a point where actually it has to go down in terms of income inequality. It would tend to reduce top incomes.
Rich people are not getting richer. They're getting a little bit poorer.
Yes. Of course, poor people, also people who are unemployed, get poorer as well. So it's not an ambiguous thing. But on balance, I think actually the crisis tends to actually reduce slightly inequality.
Branko Milanovic is the author of the new book, The Haves and the Have-Nots, about income inequality. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And The Haves and the Have-Nots, as well as some of the other books from the business world, are up on our Big Book blog. That's at marketplace.org. Finally, Chicago's commuter rail service, Metra, will follow in the tracks of the busy trains here in the Northeast. As of yesterday, some Metra train cars will be quiet cars during rush hour, cars you can't talk in. Well, as someone who occasionally rides in Amtrak's quiet car, I can tell you from experience, those quiet cars, they're all talk. I'm on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Americans throw a lot of stuff away without really any motivation to stop.
Makes me think about an all-you-can-eat buffet, as in all-you-can-throw-out trash, and with no incentives for people to think about the cost of what they're doing.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Freakonomics of Garbage, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.